Good evening. At the end of, is this day one or two officially for you guys? Okay, at the end of day one. Officially. Day one. Cool. All right. In your small groups today, you guys looked at the storyline of Jacob. And so let me catch us all up, make sure we're all on the same page. Jacob has been gone from home for 20 years after stealing the power from his blind papa. You remember this? He's on his way home, and I know that we all love stories with happy endings. And so his brother Esau and 400 welcoming soldiers are rolling out the big hairy red carpet to say, "Welcome home, Jacob. We are so excited you're here." Okay, right, y'all? Up to snuff with me? Here is your question to kick us down the road, because in your small groups today, you saw the very opening lines of Genesis chapter 33 was, Jacob sent his family, his wife and his kids, and some of you read the backstory that Jacob sent envoys of camels and envoys of sheep and envoys of goats ahead of him to Esau to let him know to roll out the big hairy red carpet. But Jacob stayed on the other side of the stream that night. And so my question for you to talk about out loud right now with the people beside you is, why? Why did Jacob separate from his family? Because he wanted to be alone? Because he wanted to protect his family? Because he wanted to protect himself? Or because God wanted Jacob to be alone? Take a few minutes, talk about this. Come up with an answer. I know you guys all have cell phones. Would you just grab those and respond digitally to me? Oh, wait, you don't have your cell phones with you? Okay, just use your fingers and respond digitally to me. Why did Jacob want to be alone? Lots of fours, got lots of twos. Up here on the front row, lots of threes. Protection, protect. All right, so who, is anybody throwing up one? Okay, so we can throw out number one. We got the fours and kind of the twos, and then a couple threes mixed in on the front quadrant down here. This is kind of good. Hey, in your small groups, you'll notice that we asked lots of questions that there weren't black and white answers to, just like this. So I don't want you please to be frustrated tomorrow and throughout the next several days as you guys do small group, and then when we're in session like this and we throw up questions, I don't know the answer. It's just to get you talking. I'm looking for you guys to put yourself in the text, to read the story, and to try and remember that these people that we read about in this book are real people. And so there's all kinds of factors that would go into Jacob's decisions. You know, in my own life, there was a period for several years where I was a liar. See, words are easy for me. I'm good at telling stories. And sometimes when I was your age, all the way through college, like a period of years, I would literally not even know sometimes what was coming out of my mouth until I heard myself say it, and I'd be like, whoa, did I just say that? Or I would even purposefully tell stories in order to see if I could get people to believe it. Like, guys, I'm not proud of that piece of who I am. And so when I read Jacob's story, that the name Jacob means liar, deceiver, heel grabber, trickster, man, I can relate. I see myself all over this story. And so let me ask you another question. Use your fingers for me. Five means we like Jacob. One means we do not like Jacob. After reading Jacob today a little bit in your small group, can you tell me how much you like this guy? Like, would you like him to be your friend? Would you invite him to your birthday party? Five means, oh yeah, like Forrest Gump, I like him a lot. And one is like Lieutenant Dan, you call this a friend? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Right, because the goal here is what? Not that we get the right answer, that we are identifying, we're learning who this character is. I love that. Here's the thing that I wanted you to see in small group. I wanted you to see that in small group that God met Jacob. Let me read for you this chunk that you probably are a little bit familiar with now. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw he could not overpower Jacob, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. And then the man said, "Let me go, for it is daybreak." Guys, the story that I want you to see in Jacob is not only starting to learn how to see yourself and to learn how to see the people in Scripture, but I want you to hear this heartbeat of who God is. God will meet you wherever you are. Whoever you are, God will meet you. And here's the promise about God. He will uncover the hard stuff in your life. He will churn up, dredge up. He will pull up the places in you that you don't like about yourself, and he will invite you to look at them. No, he'll ring the bell, and he'll invite you to wrestle with the places in your life that you don't like. I heard one of the groups did not like that in the WrestleMania with Jacob and the man, that the guy saw he could not overpower, and so he wrenched his hip. We called that a low blow. Here's a question for you. Why did God hurt Jake's hip? Go ahead and talk about this. Did he do that to humble Jake, to remind Jake of his power? Did he hurt Jake's hip to remind Jake of how close Jacob was to God? Or was there a better answer? Why don't you take a second and talk about it? Okay, let's go digitally again. 1, 2, 3, and if you're a 4, hold it, and I'll come back to you. So 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3, and if you're a 4, hold it, and we'll come back to you next. Okay. Majority 3s, several 1s, and then a couple strong 2s up here on the front row again. Good, 1, 3, 3, 3, 3. Okay, who's my 4s? Okay, you got a good reason for me, Jake? Name Jake? Interesting. I love that idea. Did you guys hear it? He said all of Jacob's life. Jacob means what? Heel grabber, liar, deceiver. All of Jacob's life, this Jacob says that Jacob from the Bible, not this Jacob, but all of his life he was taking things. And so maybe one of the physical taking was Jacob's ability to walk easily. I like that idea. Who's another 4? Got another idea?
Yeah, so he won't run away from Esau.
Ooh, so he couldn't run away from the welcoming party. I like that. That's good. I don't know. All right, one more. Big ending. Who's another 4 over here? Okay, ladies, front row. Yeah.
It's a
don't forget me. Oh, I kind of like that. Okay, I'll give you my blessing. Let's jump to that blessing part. I like the idea of thinking about the wrestle because of Jacob's whole life. Like Jacob was saying, Jacob's whole life is kind of represented in this wrestling act, in this deception act. So let me go kind of big picture Bible for us. Big picture Bible. When the man says, when Jacob says, "I won't let you go until you bless me," the man says, "What's your name?" And Jacob says, "Jacob." Then the man he was wrestling with says this: "Your name will no longer be Jacob." Do you guys remember this part? What's his new name?
Israel.
Guys, I put this bookmarker right here in my Bible. Right here. This is, in my Bible, this is the division between the Old Testament and the New Testament. There's 66 books over here. And we're in Genesis, which is the first book, and you can see that little marker right there. For the rest of this book, God's chosen people will be called the Israelites. Check out what Israel means. You might remember it. Israel means he struggles with God. Your name is no longer what? Jacob, deceiver. It's no longer liar. It's no longer the heel grabber, someone who's always out looking for number 1, but I'm giving you a new name. Guys, I don't know. If you read the rest of Jacob's story, I don't know if you're still going to like him. The dirty little secret here is this is a real dude. And if you read his story starting in Genesis 3 and keep walking, he doesn't shape up. He doesn't become this perfectly clean image of someone that I would want to invite to go have coffee with, even, honestly. Like, he doesn't turn into this perfect thing. But what God does is God gives him a new name, and he takes away the identity of deception. And he gives him a new name, a beautiful name. And it is one who wrestles with God. Here's the great news. That's the story of my life. The story of my life is lying and telling stories. Words were easy for me. And in fact, I would tell lies and not even know I was saying them until after they came tumbling out of my mouth. Or even worse, I would deceive people and lie on purpose when I was your age, all the way through college. That's disgusting. I don't like that about myself. But also who I was during that time of my life was someone who was truly learning to wrestle with God. It was when I was in ninth grade, I decided to read the whole Bible for myself. How many ninth graders in here? I didn't get done until I was a sophomore in high school. It's a big book. I didn't love reading the way I love it now at the time. Guys, the story of my life is that God took my identity as someone who lied unconsciously, and now he has brought me here to teach you. What? He brings you here, imperfect people, to this week at camp. And here's why. Because God loves imperfect people perfectly. God loves imperfect people. That's you. That's me. He loves me perfectly. And here's the story of Jacob. Jacob doesn't become this perfect person because of God's love. He becomes a person with a new name and a new identity. And he lives from that place forward. The story for the rest of the Old Testament is the people that God chooses, the people that God loves, wrestle with him. So throughout the rest of this week, we're going to keep looking at stories in Scripture of people who aren't perfect, but that God meets them exactly where they are. And we're going to dive into their stories over and over and over. And I want you guys to learn to see the character of God and to see yourself. That's our work together, all right? We'll keep working on it as the week goes on. Let's pray. God, there is a ton of hope in that sentence that you love me perfectly. So I pray that over this week, but even specifically tonight, and Father, you just ring that around our brain a little bit, that you bring up within us the things that we may not like about ourselves. God, I pray for relationships in our cabin, relationships with counselors, relationship with the directors, where we start to learn who is safe to go talk with, to uncover questions that don't need answers. God, help us to understand there are things about who we are that are not black and white and don't get solved neatly. And I pray that you meet us there. Amen.